We'll be looking at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians this morning. As you know, we're in a three-chapter pericope, or section. The scholars like to call them pericopes. Three chapters, and this is the last chapter. And the section deals with spiritual gifts. Remember, chapter 12 dealt with the existence of spiritual gifts and the priority of spiritual gifts. As you'll notice in 12, 4, and 5, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there are variety of spiritual gifts, and there are variety of ministries and the same Lord. Verse 8 says, for to no one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So chapter 12 dealt with the existence of gifts and the priority of gifts. Chapter 12 says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles. And when he says first, he doesn't mean first in sequence. He means first in importance. Now chapter 13 dealt with the preeminence of love over the spiritual gifts. Remember, love is not a spiritual gift, it's a virtue, and it is more important even than the spiritual gift. And chapter 14 that we're just starting this morning is gonna deal with the use and misuse of the gifts and order in the church service. Now, some or most people say that chapter 14 is about tongues. It is in part, but it is primarily on edification and how the gift of tongues can ruin edification. And edification, we learned before, is the purpose of the gifts. So tongues are very dangerous because they can ruin edification. We have to notice first that tongues is a biblical subject. A biblical subject. And because of that, we will study what the Bible has to say about it. Experience is not a valid indicator of truth. So we're not going to talk about someone's experience, if he spoke in tongues or not, because that's not a valid indicator of truth. God's word is the indicator of truth. Now, I say that because I have spoken in strange tongues. You may not believe that about me, but I had a doctor give me a prescription that caused me to have a seizure. It wasn't on purpose, but it happened. And I had a seizure. And what my mind was saying and what my mouth was saying were two entirely different things. I spoke in strange tongues. So, experience is not a valid indicator. When we won't talk about experience. There are five sections of the Bible that are devoted to tongues. I'll put Mark 16:17, but we won't study that because in all the best manuscripts of Mark, Mark 16 ends with verse 8. So Mark 16:17 is not in the best Bibles. There's further evidence from the church fathers that they knew nothing beyond verse 8 in the book of Mark. So if you have questions about this and you really want to get the lowdown, you can get Comfort's New Testament text and Translation Commentary, or Metzger's Text Commentary. Read the arguments for yourself. First, the ones that do refer to tongues as a gift, we have, of course, 1 Corinthians 14. Acts has three different references, and 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, and Isaiah 28, 11. So three in Acts, 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, and Isaiah 28, 11, which is, of course, the prophecy of tongues. So stop and think about that for a minute. We have five places where tongues are mentioned in the Bible. The Bible contains 66 books, 40 authors. So tongues, with its five mentions, is a very small topic. And yet, you see people who will make it a priority issue. They'll say you're not saved unless you have a second blessing and speak in tongues. Now, I'm going to give it its proper priority. I'm not going to make it a priority issue. It's not a priority issue. In Paul's order of gifts, in fact, that we just read in 1 Corinthians 12:28, tongues is the very least important of the gifts. And people make a big deal out of tongues. It just isn't there in the Bible. So as we study chapter 14, it revolves around two different themes. First, the need for edification. And that's in verses 1 through 25. Look at verse 1, for example, where it says, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands. But in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying." So the emphasis of this chapter is going to be on edification. Verse 17 says, "For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified." That is, if you're speaking tongues, you're giving thanks to God. He knows what you mean, but the other person isn't edified. In verse 26, where it says, "What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." And we'll find out that the Corinthians were getting together, and one was singing a psalm, while at the same time another's trying to teach, and one has a revelation, and one is speaking in tongues, and one has an interpretation. And so, can you be edified if all those people are speaking at once? Of course not. You can't do that. It will not be edifying. The need for edification. First, we note that there's a need for order in the church. Order is necessary for edification. A believer can't be edified if everyone is speaking at once, especially in foreign languages and gibberish. Now, the gift of tongues was not only not providing edification, it was interfering with edification. So the gift of tongues was being overemphasized in Corinth, as it is in many churches today. The logic of chapter 14 is going to be tongues without translation are intelligible to God, but not to men. And if a believer can't understand the teaching, how can he be edified? Well, he can't. Therefore, the gift of prophecy is better, because you can understand what a prophet says. So chapter 14 is going to be actually a simple chapter. It depends on preconceptions, and it gets a lot of press because of the subject, not because it's difficult, but because of the subject of tongues. Tongues in today's church is much debated and fought over. When you get right down to it, there are three different viewpoints on what the gifts of tongues is. The first one, and most popular, I think, is ecstatic speech. That is just making noises that have no meaning. And you see that a lot. I watched a YouTube of a guy speaking in tongues, and it was just babbling. Nobody knew what he was saying, and he didn't either, probably. Now, this view has its roots clear back in the Babylonian mystery religions, because speaking in tongues was known in many pagan religions, and it still is. Tongues is not necessarily a Christian manifestation. The pagans used this same thing. Now, first, the second viewpoint of what the gift of tongues is the one that I take, and that is that tongues is a known foreign language. And I'll tell you why I say that a little bit later. Tongues is a known foreign language. And the third viewpoint is that it's a combination of the first two, and that one's not very popular. So we'll start this lesson with a warning. Do not interpret the Bible in light of your experiences, because the only way to know God and what He thinks is to know His Word. So we must always interpret our experiences in the light of the Bible, of God's Word, because experiences may even be contrary to the Bible and contrary to reality. And remember, truth, righteousness loves truth. So let's look at the gift of tongues then with that little introduction. The word tongues in Greek is glossa. Glossa. It's used two ways. First, it's used literally, just like we use the word for the physical organ of speech. Look for that in Mark 7:33. Mark 7:33, where it says, Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. Now, that's the physical organ, his tongue. Same way we would use it. And secondly, glossa was used for a body of words and systems that make up a distinctive language. And we still use it that way too. We separate people by their tongues. And figuratively, it's used for the words that the tongue produces. And for that, look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So there, it's being used for a group of people that have a common language, a common tongue. But in all of these references, its use, it refers to a known earthly language. In all of those references we read, tongues is used either for the physical organ or a known earthly language. The problem is, and much confusion is brought about because of the King James Bible. And I don't know if any of you have a King James Bible, but the King James Bible translates 1 Corinthians 14:2 as this: "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." So they put "unknown" in there, and you'll notice it's in italics. It's not in the original text, and there are no textual variants here. Comfort and Metzger both agree. There are no variants. So that was not, the word "unknown" was not in the original text. So it says, "For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." Now it's placed there because of a preconception. I won't get too down on that because we all have preconception. Our goal here at Ling Bible is to be as objective as possible, to set aside our preconceptions as much as possible, but it's not possible to set aside all of them. And that's why I always, when I come up with something new, I look very carefully at the commentaries, because I don't trust myself. If I come up with a new interpretation for a verse, I want to look up and see that somebody else has come up with it too, because we've been studying this book for 2,000 years. And a lot of people who are a lot smarter than I am have been studying this book. Now, it doesn't mean I'll completely disregard my interpretation, but I'll be very, very careful about using it. So now let's look at tongues in the book of Acts and Acts chapter 2. And remember, Acts is a transitional book. It transitions from the Old Testament to the New Testament. From Abraham to Acts chapter 2, God deals mainly with nation Israel, doesn't he? And he deals with the world through nation Israel. They are his chosen people. Now, some people don't like that. They don't like to say that the Jews are God's chosen people. For example, the regime in Germany during World War II, they did not like the idea that the Jews were God's chosen people. And if you don't like it, I have some advice for you. You better get over it, because God is sovereign. And he can choose whoever he pleases to be his chosen people. Now in Acts chapter 2, a new work begins. And God's chosen people will not be Israel alone. In fact, Israel will be set aside during the church age as God's chosen people. Now he's not done with them being his chosen people. He made promises to them that he hasn't fulfilled yet, and he will fulfill those promises. But God's chosen people in our time is anyone who believes the gospel message, Jew or non-Jew, no matter what race, no matter where they came from, no matter what they believed before, it doesn't matter. So the gift of tongues was assigned to the Jews that the Gentiles could be part of the body of Christ. You know, Jews didn't think much of people that didn't speak Hebrew or Aramaic, and they would consider it offensive to have people teach them in a different language than that. So gifts, or tongues, was a sign. Look at Acts 14:20. It says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Now, this is one reason, 1 Corinthians 14:21, is that I believe that gift of tongues is no longer active. Because what was it? What was its purpose? Its purpose was to tell nation Israel that there were going to be people speaking in strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, that is Israel, and even so they will not listen to me, because they would be very offended. Tongues was part of the grand opening ceremonies of the church age. As I said at the beginning of the church age, the message coming from Gentiles would be offensive to most Jews. But now, in our day and age, that's kind of old news, isn't it? Because that was for the opening of the church age. Now, if you're wondering, in verse 22, it says, in the law it is written, by men of strange tongues. Strange tongues is one word in Greek. It's heteroglossus. And remember, glossos means tongue. Heteros means different. This means speaking a foreign language. It doesn't mean speaking in ecstatic speech. Heteroglossos is simply speaking a foreign language. So that's what he's saying in verse 21. And the law is written by men of foreign languages, and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people. And again, that would have been very offensive to the Jews. Now, Acts 2, 4 through 11 is the first time that the use of biblical tongues is mentioned, except for the prophecy of it. Now, there was a prophecy, remember, we read it. And now, in 2, 4 through 11, this prophecy comes to pass. And it's the first time, remember that, the first time that the use of biblical tongues is mentioned. In verse 6, it says, and when the sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered. Why? Because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And language is the synonym of glossa. It's the word dialectos. Dialectos means the language of a nation or region. We use it the same way in English, a dialect. In chapter 2 of Acts, the listeners were amazed. Look at verse 7. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Now, is that ecstatic speech? Absolutely not. They were speaking to everybody in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished. Why do you suppose they were amazed and astonished? Well, there's two reasons. First, because they were doing that. And second is because the speakers were Galileans. Galileans had a reputation for being dumb. There's no easier way to put it. They had a reputation for being dumb. Now, the phenomenon was linked then to a human language. It was definitely not ecstatic speech. Now, look up at Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, this is a hilarious story. If you read through this whole story, you should do it sometime. Acts chapter 10, because Peter got up in front of all those people, and he was making a great speech, and he didn't even get to finish it before the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening. Put these together. There is no question in Acts chapter 2 that the listeners were hearing the message in their own language, a known foreign language. And the speakers were Galileans, who not only had a reputation for being dumb, but they had a reputation for being speakers of only one language. Now, most of the people in these days were at least bilingual. They would know their own language, and they would know Greek, because Greek was the common language. It was the Koine language. So most of the people at this time were multilingual. Now, let me ask you a question. Can anybody tell me something between Acts 2 and Acts 10 that would make me change the meaning of the word glossa, tongues? And what was the meaning in Acts chapter 2? The listeners were hearing in their own language, a known foreign language. Well, when you come up to Acts chapter 10, 44, and look down at verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. And a lot of people will say, well, that's ecstatic speech. No, that's against the rule of hermeneutics called the law of first mention. And that law goes simply like this, and it's in the hermeneutic book. The first mention of an area, a fact, or a word becomes the pattern for what that word or expression or phenomenon means, or a pattern for that word. So if you have a word and there's nothing in between that says you should change the meaning of that word for some reason, then the next time you see that word, it means the same thing. And there's no reason to change the meaning of the word here. And that's true clear up to today. Can anybody give me a reason we should change the meaning of a word that's clearly defined and make it mean something else? No. Tongues in 1 Corinthians 12, talks about various kinds of tongue. 1 Corinthians 12:10. And in 1 Corinthians 12:10, it says, to another, he's talking about the gifts, and to another, the effecting of miracles, to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues. Now, kinds, notice the word various is not in the text, and to another, kinds of tongues. The word kinds is the Greek word genos. Genos means entities united by common traits. He's talking about languages all have common traits, don't they? They all have grammar, they all have verbs, action words, they have nouns, whether they call them that or not, naming words. So all languages have common traits. So the biblical definition of tongues is the supernatural ability to speak in an earthly foreign language without being trained to speak that language. Here are these dumb Galileans who couldn't speak more than one language, who were speaking the language of everyone that was listening in their own language. That's tongues. So as we started, I'll say again, chapter 14 is not about tongues. It's about having order in the local church meeting. Because if you don't have order, edification cannot take place. And that's it for today. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for giving us this biblical definition of the gift of tongues. And we hope we understand it correctly. In fact, we pray that we understand it correctly. In Christ's name, amen.